I'm John Betts with Professor James Rahm, and the book is Unpredictable, because it's not Shakespeare. It doesn't give us a proverb at the end to feel good about, or even King Kong, Beauty Killed the Beast. We now follow, remember the teenager who drank too much and caused his uncle, brother-in-law, much distress that led to the invasion fleet that is now pulled apart Syracuse. It's no longer the most powerful state, which must have made them smile in Rome and Carthage and Athens. Must have. I get suspicious sometimes. However, Dionysius II is still on the scene, or has returned from the mainland. And he's in the island. Is that correct, Professor? He and his men are secure in the island.
That's right.
Until from Corinth, which is the mother city of Syracuse several hundred years before, a man named Timoleon. Who is he?
Timoleon was a mature man, a man in his 50s, who had lived a private life in Corinth for decades after a political episode that had badly tarnished him and forced him out of politics. But when the call came from Syracuse, help us here, we need some kind of leadership, Timoleon was appointed to lead a hired army to try to take control of the situation.
And Corinth wanted this to happen?
Well, they wanted to make some kind of effort. Syracuse, as you said earlier, it was originally their colony. So as the mother city, they felt an obligation to at least try to get things back on track. And Timoleon was their token effort to do that.
I got the impression from the way you tell the story, he wasn't well financed and he just had a bunch of volunteers all in it for the plunder. Is that the way to think of it?
Well, I don't know if plunder was their chief motive, but certainly they were hired. They were being paid a salary. And yes, it was a very meager effort, seemingly just to sort of check the box. You know, we've done our duty as Mother City. We've tried to help Syracuse out.
I'm thinking of the Castro brothers landing on the shores of Cuba, you know, just a fishing boat. And all of a sudden there's a revolution because everybody joins with Timoleon for some reason that has to do with the desperation of the town. And now we've come to the big drama, Timoleon versus Dionysius the Junior, the younger man, with his guard. And yet they weaken and he doesn't fight. Why? Why doesn't he? What is he thinking?
It's a great mystery. You know, he had offered before in the days of Dion's invasion to abdicate if he had control of a fertile province that would give him a secure income for life and a pleasant retirement. And I think he made a deal with Timoleon for essentially that same outcome in Corinth, that he would be able to retire, he'd get a secure home in Corinth, and live out his life peacefully.
He left the city voluntarily in a ship that sailed away. Now, here's the twist. He doesn't die. He lives on in Corinth. He becomes a music teacher at some point so he can boss around children, we're told, and might have become a priest at the end of his life. In other words, he's not punished. That's the surprise to me, Professor. It's totally unbelievable if you're Shakespeare. But if you're writing history, he's not punished whatsoever. And does he speak of what he's lost? You know, the great, rich, powerful man come to this looking for coins because he teaches. Does he talk about it?
Yes. And he's questioned by Corinthians as to what happened and why didn't you learn anything from Plato? How did you come to this pass? To which he replied memorably, "You think I didn't learn anything from Plato? Well, the fact that I'm enduring this exile and impoverishment shows that I did."
And I have a new saying to say every once in a while when something goes wrong. Dionysius is in Corinth. What did that mean to the Greeks?
So that was an expression coined at the time and went on as a proverb for centuries. Dionysius is in Corinth. Anything could happen. The most powerful ruler could be brought to the lowliest position in society. You can't count on anything.
Yes, it's a wonderful I wonder, does it have any weight today, or is it completely in the hands of Eugenius classicists, or does anybody use it anywhere?
I haven't heard it used. No, I think it's pretty much extinct.
Well, I'm going to revive it because it's fabulous. We can think of a few oligarch-like characters that when they meet their maker, we could say Dionysus is in Corinth. When we come back, the Republic, reflecting all these dramas. The book is Plato and the Tyrant. James Rahm is the author.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.